So speaking of my kids, for a long time, I think we stumbled into this when Zoe was, before she turned a year old. Before she turned a year old, we kind of settled into a bedtime routine that we still do. Where we sing a worship song or a couple worship songs, you know, and then we read two chapters of the Bible, and then we pray, and we pray youngest, oldest. And so before Zoe was a year old, we settled into that as our bedtime routine, and we decided for our kids that we were going to, we wanted them from a young age to not be scared of the Bible. So we read the Bible straight through. We do skip certain chunks. We've skipped more or less depending on their ages. Now that they can read, we have to skip a little bit more because I can't just go over certain paragraphs like they know what's happening. So I have to skip a whole chapter. And so we had a joke for a while that we thought Zoe's first word might be pasture land because in like Numbers, it was like da 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 and their pasture lands, da 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 and their pasture lands, you know. And so I think we're on our, what is it, like the seventh time? Like our sixth or seventh time reading through the Bible at night. And so normally it's just straightforward. But this month we're reading one chapter of Proverbs. We jumped ahead and we're reading a chapter of Proverbs each day. And then we're in Numbers. So instead of just reading two chapters of Numbers, we're reading a chapter of Proverbs and a chapter of Numbers. So this month I've been, you know, okay, what are you saying, Lord? What are we doing? You know, we did Micah 6:8, and I mean, I could do Micah 6:8 again, you know, because I was really feeling that, and I could preach that again to myself, you know. But we're in Proverbs, and so wisdom. So every night, there's something about wisdom going on. And I was like, huh, Lord, is this what you're saying? You know, and so I started to really feel some energy about that idea about wisdom. And so in Proverbs 4:7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. And I don't know how God could make it plainer. He's like, hey, you want to know what the big thing is? It's wisdom. And in case you didn't understand what that meant, that means you should get it. You know, sometimes I need that, like that. Hey, 60-point font, bold, underlines, !! And some people remember and some people won't. But like in the early 90s internet, everything was blinking. Like you'd go to a homepage and people, it would be like, poof, 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 poof. It's like, that's what I feel like God is doing with that verse. Wisdom. You need that. And so I started looking at that. I was like, what, God, what is wisdom? What is it? And because God loves us and because he knows that his thoughts are way above our thoughts, and his thoughts are way above our thoughts and his ways are above our ways. He knows that he has to spell it out for us a lot, you know. He's got plenty of stuff that we dig deep into, but there's equally just as much stuff that he just kind of scatters out there and is like, there it is for you, right there. And James 3 is one of those chunks. So we're going to go to James 3, verse 13, and I'm going to read to the end of the chapter. I'm remembering something my youth pastor used to say, because he would tell us, he read out of King James, and he would say, I'm reading out of the King James Version, but regardless of your translation or your transliteration, God's word remains the same. And so I was about to say that I read out a new King James, and that just popped into my brain. So James 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And so this is one of those verses where God lays it out for us. He tells us how we show it. He tells us what it isn't. He tells us what it is, right? And so I'm mostly just going to focus on the chunk where he tells us where it is. But there's a couple things that I just want to point out from the beginning, is that like in verse 13, he says, who's wise? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. So you're not wise because you said you are. You know, like, you know, people in my generation like to do that a lot, and probably people in youngers, and but it's like, well, I know all this. You know, like, oh, I've got this. You know, like, oh, I'm so smart. I know this. Well, I give really good advice. You know, or just proclaiming what they have to offer. And I'm not going to say it's not necessarily bad to say that you're intelligent. You know what I mean? Or to say that, okay, yeah, let me share something with you. But there's a point where you cross the line, or there's also a point where someone is saying it, but then there's no evidence of it, right? Where they're saying like, oh, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this, and you're like, really though? Really though? You know, like really? And so wisdom, the people who are wisest never have to say it, right? You see it. You see it in the way they conduct their lives. You see it in their behavior. You see it in the way they respond to conflict. Like, how many times have you seen somebody and you see them under great pressure and you go, they have something to offer. They have something that I want. You know, I was reminded of this the other day. One of our friends, someone that Ron and I went to the same high school. For those of you who don't know, we both went to School of the Arts. He's older than me, so we're in different grades, but we did our teen years together. And we have friends who were both from that year. And so we've known, there's a lot of people that we've known for a long time because we went to high school with them. And one particular couple that we know, their wife, when they were pregnant with their first child, the child died the week before the baby was going to be born. And so she had to deliver this baby. And we were all so wrecked by it, you know? And he's a friend of ours, and he's our contractor, so he's frequently in our house and everything. And it was a little while after that we found out I was pregnant with Zoe. And he was coming over to do some, I think we were talking about getting some work done, and he was coming over. And Rod and I had like a real frank conversation about whether it was appropriate for us to tell him at this time that we were pregnant. And so we ended up telling him, and he was so gracious and so excited for us. But we had dinner with their family, and she was sharing kind of everything that had happened and the story and all the stuff. And the way that she walked through that, I don't know if I have ever met another woman with such strength. Do you know what I mean? With such reliance and grace from the Lord. Because we were months, bare months after it. And the way she was talking about the Lord and the way he had been with her in the midst of this and the way she was able to even just share what had happened and everything, I was like, man, I hope I never have to walk through something like that. But if I do, I want to do it like her, you know? And I mean, we're a couple years apart. She's a couple years older than me. And so even now, I look at her life and I look at the way she lives and I go, man, God has done something amazing in her. She has such depth because I watched her walk through this crazy circumstance and just went, she has so much from the Lord. She never has to say or proclaim like, oh, I'm so deep. Me and God are like this. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't have to say that because you can see it. Do you know what I mean? It's all over her because of the way she walked through this tragedy, you know? And so wisdom isn't something that you ever have to proclaim. You know, you don't got to have, like, wise on a shirt, like, across your... Like, I have this vision now of, like, a merchandise with, like the chips. There's, like, wise. They make chips, like, you know, wise across your shirt or something like that. You don't need that. And then this other point in verse 14, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, if you have envy in your hearts, wisdom doesn't exist there. You know, so many times we're like, oh, envy isn't a bad thing. Jealousy isn't a bad thing. But if you have that, you don't have wisdom. You can't. It can't exist in the same spot. That critical, contentious, fight-provoking kind of attitude. And I guess I think one of the other reasons why just this idea is dwelling on me is there's so much going on right now. And there's so much stuff that's getting uncovered, you know? And, you know, the Lord is really revealing a lot in this time. And we are not necessarily handling it the best. You know, we find out that something's been said or that something's been done, and it's just, no you, no you, no you, no you. You're the worst. No, you're the worst. No, you're the worst. You know what I mean? And you're like, you know, it's not the right response to the stuff. Like, the stuff has to be dealt with, no question. But, I mean, I think I stopped posting to Facebook like in August, right? And every so often I hop on because I do some different stuff, but I'm like, oh, let me see what's going on in. And so I start to scroll through, like, sometimes just to find like a friend and see what's happening. And I'm like, oh, let's just swipe out and close that because I don't want to hear that contentious division and, you know? And we feel like, so many people feel like they can hide, you know, behind their screen or just the words. And so it's just this snarling at each other, you know? And because I was talking about Micah 6:8 and justice and everything, like, I'm really aware of it right now, this idea that you do need to speak for the truth. You do need to speak for the truth. You do need to speak for the person who is being oppressed. You do need to relieve, but there's also the mercy side and the meekness and the kindness, and how we do it actually matters before the Lord. And so even as I know that the Lord calls each one of us to be a faithful witness, to speak his truth, you know, I want to do that with wisdom. I don't want to get into a conversation and go, oh, I know all this, and then say stuff that rips down someone else, you know, that despises the very real gift that the Lord has given me in the name of being right, you know, because you can have the facts and you can still cut people down and be completely wrong in how you do it, you know, just because you're on the side of the facts, I don't want to say the truth. Do you know what I mean? Because the truth has godly implications behind it. So just because you're on the side of the facts doesn't mean that you get to rip someone down, you know? And so so that's why I see that bitter envy and self-seeking, you know? For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. And then it goes into verse 17. Where it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Okay? And so seven characteristics of true wisdom God lays out for us. But the first thing is the wisdom that is from above. And so this all starts with the fact that true wisdom is a gift from God. Amen. It is not a product of our knowledge or our advantages, like how much learning we got or how many books we had access to or any of that stuff. Wisdom does not come from that. And God is not a respecter of persons. So none of those things are what he uses to dispense wisdom. Like, oh, well, she learned to read really early. so she gets more wisdom. This person still struggles to read, so they get less. Like, that's not how the Lord, that's not how he does it, you know? Like, oh, they went to college. They are now wise. You know? Frequently it goes the other way. You know? Well, college has its benefits. And so, I am going to cough, so I need to. And so I came across this quote when I was looking at things. I really liked it. Well, not a quote, because it's not like attributed to anybody. It was just something someone said. Knowledge is horizontal. Like, it's a product of your relationships and the things that you experience. Wisdom is vertical. There's nothing wrong with knowledge, you know? But wisdom comes from the Lord. So the very first thing is that it's pure. And there it's not talking about like sexually pure. It means free from moral defilement or without spot. Free from anything improper. Pure. Morally, mentally, spiritually, pure. And it's first because this is the characteristic that relates to both God and man. You're pure in your dealings with the Lord. You're pure in your dealings with other people. Okay? The rest of the six are all things that are worked out or are demonstrated in your relationships with other people. So first, purity. And then comes being peaceable. Peace follows purity, and it depends on it. If you have improper motivations or hidden stuff, peace is not something that follows you. Like, if you're hiding something and someone gets close to it, like, you get all agitated, right? You get all contentious. It's like, if you have a cut, right? Like, let's say you have a cut and can't be seen underneath, like, your shirt. Like, let's say I had a cut right there and my shirt was down. Like, if my kids come, I mean, this has happened a bunch of times. Like, I have a cut or a bruise or something, and my kids are, like, coming to, like, climb on me. And I'm like, oh, no. And I'm, like, trying to protect myself. If I have something that I'm hiding, I try to protect it. Right? And that isn't something that leads to peace, because I am more concerned about my thing being discovered than I am about the actual situation that's happening. Peaceable means not agitated with passion, like not all, okay? You're free from quarrel or public commotion. You're gentle. That's the third one. Mild, meek, not rough, harsh or severe. One of the commentaries I read called it sweet reasonableness. Yeah, I really liked that. Sweet reasonableness. It does. It would probably be an excellent barbecue sauce. Al said it sounded like a barbecue sauce, and that does sound delicious. And it is the ability to extend to others the kindly consideration we would wish to receive for ourselves. So if I'm walking in wisdom, as I dispense this wisdom that the Lord has given me, I am doing it in such a way that I am treating others and I'm speaking these truths to others the way I would want them spoken to me. Like, I'm a writer, and I'm part of a mastermind group with some other people, and we were talking, one woman and her fiancé write together, and she was saying she had to give him a note about adverbs, like the words that end in L-Y. Like, she said softly, said gently, said stridently, right? And so she was telling him to back off from them. But she said it took her 5 minutes to give him the note, because she started with a whole, you know, I haven't said anything about this before because it's not an issue and you're still getting your point across. But you are growing as a writer, and you can grow further and faster by letting this go. You don't need to rely on these tools anymore. You have more language. So she gave him this whole, like, the Oreo cookie criticism, where it's like, compliment, sneak in the criticism, compliment, right? And she said he probably could have taken it if she had just been like, hey, you got to lay off those. But she says she knew that he was going to be giving her criticism in the future, and she wanted to make sure that she demonstrated the way that she wanted in the future. She's like, no, I really want him to be like, you're amazing, you're so good at this. Hey, you know a way you could be even more awesome? And then tell it to her and be like, but really, it's so good, you know? And so we were joking about how sensitive we all are as writers and how we need it sugar-coated and everything. But that's the thing. That's what I thought of when I thought of this gentleness, was that she's like, I want to give it to him the way that I would want to get it. I know I'm right, but I don't want to just be right. You know, I want him to receive it, and I want him to get it the way that I would want to get it. So that's gentle. Willing to yield. And so one meaning of this was easy to convince, but it wasn't, or easy to persuade, but it wasn't like a weak-willed, like, oh, I'm swayed by this, I'm swayed by that, I'm swayed by this. It's a willing to admit that something is true. Like, oh, hey, we should do blah, 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 blah. And someone's like, oh, well, we're not going to do that because of A, B, and C. And you're like, that's an excellent point. You know, you don't hold fast to your thing because it's your thing. You know, you want the truth. So you're willing to let go of whatever you are holding on to if something else is revealed to be true. An example of this that was not willing to yield is, so Ron's a musician. And when we were in Kansas City, we had two people visiting us, both musicians. And younger, like one in their 20s, one in their teens. And they're both drummers, and they brought up this thing called the air drums that they had seen on like YouTube or something, where you have these sticks and you're like, and depending on where you hit, it's like an invisible drum kit. You know what I mean? Like, and then it makes the sounds and everything. And they're like, and so that turned into this whole big discussion over whether that was like a valid instrument or not. Was that valid drums and everything? And I end up being drawn out of my bedroom. Like, we were living in a ranch. They're in the kitchen. And I'm down a hallway in my room, like all the way on the other side of the house. And I'm drawn out of my room by increasingly louder voices, just like ramping up. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, why are they so loud? And so I come out, and all three of them are just loudly proclaiming their opinion about what this is. And so the two younger ones are on the side of this being a legitimate drum or whatever. And Ron is now forced to talk over them. And he is explaining that a drum, he's just going with definitions, right? He's like, a drum is a percussive instrument. Percussion means strike. If you can't strike it, it's not a drum, right? He's like, just, if you didn't hit something, it's not a percussive instrument. He's like, I'm not saying it's not an instrument. I'm not saying someone couldn't learn on it. I'm just saying it's not a percussive instrument. It can't be. And they are refusing. Like, Ron is like, has the iPad out and the dictionary and is like, percussion, right? And I come into this thing and they're like, but. And it's just like, wah, 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 wah. Right? And I don't normally get loud. That's not the way I engage in like things. And so I was like, hey, guys, can we just? And I'm like, he's not saying A, B, and C. He is merely saying this point. And they're like, well, I understand what you're saying. I'm like, no. Like, and that's when I got loud. I was like, no, you can't. You don't get to cut me off and say you know what I'm saying when you don't know what I'm saying. Like, that's not how this works. Right? Like, that's, like, you don't know what I'm saying, you know? And it was so funny because they were not willing to yield. It was like the most ridiculous discussion/argument ever. ever, ever. It was so loud. It went on for so long. And we're looking at the dictionary and they're just going, but. I'm like, you don't get to change words. You don't get to change what the word means. This is what the word means. Even now, we can bring this up. And they're like, well, and it's like the volume is already there, right? And so that is a picture of not being willing to yield. That in the face of facts, you're not willing to let go being right. You know, you're going to hold on to it with this death grip for no reason. For no reason. It doesn't hurt anybody, right? Like, that was a stupid thing. So now we use it as a teasing point, you know? But how much worse to hold on to what you think is right in the face of learning that it's wrong? Because you're unwilling to yield. You're unwilling to surrender, okay? Now, obviously, truth, conviction, hold it. But there's so many things that we don't have full revelation on. You know, sometimes you don't have all the facts. So you make a judgment in a situation based on what you know, and then more facts come up. Can you let go your original judgment and go, oh, this new piece puts a whole different slant on that. Let me rethink. Or do you just double down? You know what I mean? Like, you just, I mean, I see a lot of that right now, where people just double down. And you're like, it's okay to say you were mistaken. It's okay. No one's calling you a liar. No one's casting judgment on your character. It's okay to just go, oh yeah, that I was wrong. Yeah, that clearly shows. Just let it go. You know, just let it go. Full of mercy and good fruits. Mercy is a person's disposal to overlook injuries, to temper justice. And good fruits, full of good fruits. I grew up in a church tradition where frequently when you talked about being fruitful, they thought it always meant money. Like, that's, hey, be fruitful. You know, and it was expected that that meant material provision of some kind. But good fruits and being fruitful is about the work of the Spirit. You know, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. If when you're talking and you think you're acting in wisdom and those things aren't the fruit of what you're saying, then you're not in the path of wisdom. Like, if me giving advice or counsel to someone, if someone comes to me with an issue and I'm trying to give them the counsel of the Lord, if my words don't provoke them to love or to joy or to peace or to patience, if I'm not being kind or gentle, if there's no provoking to faithfulness or to self-control or to goodness, then I'm not giving them wise counsel. Because that is what the word of the Lord does. It always provokes that. Now, it's their, if that's not happening because of their response, that's something very different. But if the words that I'm using or the advice that I'm giving isn't something that would produce love, I'm not giving wise counsel. You know? Like I said, obviously, you know, they have their own response to give. You know, I can't force love to spring up in my children's hearts. Like, they are their own person and they have to do the work to do that. But there are ways that I can deal with them that plant those seeds. And there are ways that I can deal with them that do not plant those seeds. You know, there are ways that I can discipline that bring peace. And there are ways that I can correct and criticize that there is no chance peace comes from. You know? Wisdom is without partiality. Being partial is an inclination to favor one side. It's undue bias. It also carries the idea of not being overly suspicious or judgmental of one side just from what you see. without partiality. It was one of those things that we touched on when we were talking about justice. This idea of just because you know someone's part of a specific group, do you treat them a certain way because of that? Do you make an assumption about the way that they are just because you know something about them? You know, like, because I know someone's fatherless, if there's an altercation, do I automatically assume that the one who doesn't have a dad is the one who started it? Like, with no actual facts, I just walk into the room and I judge based on what I know about something. And without hypocrisy, the concealment of one's real character or motives, false pretenses. The partiality and the hypocrisy one, so many times we use our speech to conceal those. People say something and they say it like this, but then there's some hidden stuff that if you probe reveals what they really think about one side, or reveals that they don't actually think this is true. He just ran out. Okay, sorry, fan just sprinted. Can't go far. He normally makes a couple laps. And so all of these things are not things that we can just drum up in ourselves. I know in and of myself, I am not a peaceful person. Right? Like, that's not something that I can just pull out of nowhere. I can fake it. You know, I can fake like a calmness. But without the Lord, underneath, everything's just going like this. You know? And so I can't bring peace into a situation without the Lord. Can't even bring peace to myself without the Lord. You know? If I can't master my own self, how am I going to do anything else? You know? And without the Lord's eyes, you can't see without partiality. One of our, Ron and I were children's pastors for a long time, and one of our frequent prayers for us and for our workers was that we would see the kids the way the Lord created them and was calling them to be, and not what was actually in front of us. One of the values that we would share with our workers and that we still do when we do child safety training is that you don't get to place negative absolutes on a child. Like when they're disciplining, when we're disciplining, you don't get to say, you never listen, or you're always screwing it up. Even if the past 10 times they didn't listen during Sunday school, you don't get to say that. You always call for their future. But you can't do that unless you see their future. And we can only see that with God's eyes, right? So if you're one of those people who, I mean, we all struggle with it. You only see what's there in front of you. And so then you want to judge based on that. That's how you get the eyes of wisdom, is that you ask the Lord for them. You ask the Lord to see the person as who he created them to be and not as whatever broken mess is standing in front of you. Because I know if people are judging a situation I'm in, I want them to see me as the Lord sees me and as the Lord wants me to be, you know? So then the question is, how do you become wise? If wisdom is the principal thing and God says, get it, and there's all these things and we're like, I don't got it. How do you get from here to there, right? So the first thing, and I'm sure a number of you have heard this before, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom. That is the very first thing. Fear the Lord. Know who he is and know who you are. I mean, we just touch the edges of that when we look at what true wisdom is and we go, oh, that's good. Yeah, you're right. That is wisdom. Someone who judges clearly, with from pure motivations, without being a hypocrite, who's gentle. Yeah, that's wise. You know, and you realize that all of us fall short, like that we can't do that on our own, but that the Lord does it perfectly, you start to go, oh, he is not the same thing as me. He is something different. He is holy. He is other, you know? And you start to touch the edges of, You know. So many times I look at that statement, God is love, and I think I've said it here before, is that, you know, on one hand, I want to be like, think about how I love, and I just kind of want to multiply that times 10 and add a couple extra to it and be like, God is love. I can see that, you know, because it turns it into something obtainable for me. Because I'm like, oh, it's like what I have. It's just times 10. Yeah, it's just better. It's just, you know, like mine is like a normal blue and his is like a really rich blue. Like, but we're still on the same. We're still on the same page. I could get there. You know, but he, love is him. Like it's not, my love is him. It's no, he is love. And I don't even begin to touch the edges of it. You know, there's like you do an index card and you say, okay, who's the best person you can think of? Not Jesus, but like the best person. Who can you think of? People are like, oh, Mother Teresa. You know, you get some other names. It's like, where do they go on the card? And they're like, oh, you put them close to the top. Who's the worst person? You normally get Hitler. And then you're like, where's Hitler? And they're like, put him at the bottom of the index card. And then you're like, where are you? People are like, most people try to put themselves in the middle, slightly closer to the Mother Teresa side. You know, not enough to feel like they're being proud, but enough that it's clear that they're not on the Hitler side. Some people get really close to the top of the card and you're like, okay, whatever, you know? But most people are like in the middle, slightly closer. And you're like, oh, so you're a pretty good person. They're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're like, okay, so God's standard of righteousness is actually the Empire State Building. And this index card is at the bottom. From the top of the Empire State Building, can you really tell who's closer to the top? It's like, no. And that's like where the love is. Like, I'm like, I'm doing so good. Like, last year I was halfway up the card and now I'm like four more lines up. But God's love is the Empire State Building. And so I'm like feeling good about my couple steps forward that I moved, but my scale is over here and his scale is something completely different, right? When you realize that you're on two totally different playing fields, two different scales, you're starting to touch the edge of the fear of the Lord, right? Realizing his holiness, his power, that he is the one who defines the words, like, he is not our understanding. He is the true definition of these things. So first step, fear the Lord, beginning of wisdom. Number two, seek God for it. Still in James 1. Five. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I love verses like that. I like it when God tells me what to ask him and then tells me he's going to give it to me if I just ask him. Like, I love that. The Lord's like, hey, if you don't have wisdom, I'm like, nope, don't got it. He's like, ask me. I can do that. And I'm going to give it to you. That's a pretty sweet deal. Right? So seek God. Ask him for the wisdom that you want or that you need. More on the need side than the want side. Number three, dive into his word. And I use that word dive intentionally. Because sometimes when we think about study, we get stuck back in that place of, I'm not that smart and school didn't go that well. Right? Like you start to think, you know, depending on what tools you come to the thing with, you're like, study, that might go a little rough. Or on the other hand, like I love to read. And like, I love books and I love that kind of stuff. And so then I can go on the other side of like the pride, like study. Oh, I got that. Study. Yes. 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 Right? Like I've got that on lock. I don't. Right? And so dive into his word carries this connotation of plunging yourself into it. Right? Like the Holy Spirit is our teacher. So whatever kind of, I mean, we've got great tools now. Like in my phone, I've got like the Blue Letter Bible app. It's got the concordance. It's got the commentaries. I've got the lexicon. Like I remember being probably like 8. And my uncle, we lived in a duplex. My uncle lived next door to me. He had the thick Strong's concordance, you know, just, it was massive, you know, just whoop on his shelf. And I'm a book person, so I was always picking it up, like, had no idea how to use it at 8 years old. But I was just like, look at all this. Just words. Words. This is so awesome, right? You know, look at these Greek letters. Look at these Hebrew letters. No idea what's going on. Just tiny little letters. And I'm just like, this is amazing. Okay. Now you don't even need to do that. You can have the app. You click on the little thing, and it all... You know, you don't have to go 6473H and then flip and make sure you know what's going on. It just gives it to you. So we have all these tools, but really the Holy Spirit is the one still who teaches us. You don't have to be intimidated. Or alternately, you don't get to feel superior because you know how to use those tools, right? They're tools, but the Lord is the one who gives us the wisdom. We sit with the word and you ask him, God, what does this mean? God, reveal this to my heart. Oh, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Thank you, God, that you gave your son. Help me understand that truth. You know, super, super little dialogue. I remember we were in Kansas City and I had had a dream a vision a number of years earlier. Just really specific. And they were talking about dreams and interpretation and visions. And they were like, you know, ask the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit, right? And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, God, why was such and such in my dream? Because there was a specific person that I knew in the dream. And it just never made sense to me. I'm like, why is such and such in my dream? And immediately the Holy Spirit's like, oh, well, it was blah, 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 blah. And I was like, why didn't you tell me that before? Yeah. And he goes, yeah, you didn't ask. Like, that's what the Lord says to me. You didn't ask. And I'm like, blew my mind, right? That he gives us the word, but it's a dialogue. He gives it to us as an invitation. You know, even these things that are flat out on the surface, wisdom is blah, 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 can sit and go, God, what does it mean to be pure? Show me what that means, God. Give me a greater revelation of that. What areas am I not pure? Help me, Lord. You know, and then I'm in a dialogue with God. You know, even these flat out verses that my kids can get or that are just like, oh, it's a pebble of truth. Just pick it right up. They're still so deep. The word of the Lord endures forever. You know, endures forever. You know, I've said it before that I just think about 10,000 years from now, there's going to be some verse that I think I really understand. And 10,000 years from now, the Holy Spirit's going to be like, hey, guess what? And like breathe on him. Be like, whoa, that was there the whole time. It's gonna be like, yeah, that was there the whole time. And be like, really though? It's like, yeah, that was there the whole time. It's like, oh man, that's good, you know? It's like, chew on that for a while, I'll come back, you know? And so you ask the Lord, you dive into it, and it changes your heart. It transforms your mind. It renews your mind. And then you're walking in wisdom. Number 4 is to walk with the wise. Right? If you want it, be with it. There's some weird, like, proverb, but not proverb, like, from the Bible proverb, like, saying, where it's like, if you want to soar with the eagles, don't walk with the turkeys. Like, has anyone else heard that one? Right? You know? And so, if you want to be wise, be with those who are wise. If you're not sure who's wise, who's peaceful, who's gentle, who's willing to yield, who's full of mercy and full of good fruits, like you can find it. Number 5, heed correction. So I separated that out because when you know someone's wise and they correct you, you're like, okay. You know, it stings, but you're still like, okay, you know, they know what they're talking about. I'm going to fix this. And that's one way to grow in wisdom. But you still have to heed correction from the people who aren't wise. And that's a lot harder. Someone corrects you and they have stuff like screwed up in their own life, and you want to be like, well, you do, blah, 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 you know? But they can still have tapped something that you need to look at in your life. And so when you receive criticism, you know, instead of defending yourself and back at the other person, is, Lord, is there any truth in that that I need to pay attention to? And that's humility, you know? Lord, is there any truth in that that I need to pay attention to? Ignoring the vessel it came from and the tone of voice it was set in, you know? And just going, God, is there anything there that I need to get? And that, when you can accept that, no matter where it comes from, you're really learning those things because you're yielding. You're going, oh, you're right, that is wrong. I do need to fix that. Like, let's say I'm driving in a car with someone who is not a good driver. They regularly speed. They regularly run lights. They turn right on red without stopping. They just kind of do the rolling stop kind of thing. And let's say while I am with them, I run a red light. Say I don't even do it intentionally. The light turns red and turns red before I cross over and I don't realize it. And they go, Valerie, you ran that red light. They are not less right because they screwed up a lot. Like, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. The right response is not for me to be like, well, you ran. Are you joking me right now? Like, when we were in the car last week, I counted. Like, you should be glad there's not traffic lights anymore, the traffic cameras anymore. Like, man, you know what I mean? I'm driving because you don't know how to drive. Like, that's not the way to back at them. If they're right, they're right. If they're right, they're right, you know? And the Lord gives us that correction, even from a lot of different places. So, God tells us to get wisdom. He outlays for us what it looks like, and he tells us the way to get it. And I think that in the culture we specifically live in this time and in this nation and in the environment of stuff that is swirling, it is key for us to have wisdom. Yes. It is so rare. Yes. Right now. Yes. It is so rare right now that it is such a dramatic way to reveal the glory of the Lord. Ron and I have done a lot of musicals in the place, and I'm winding down, but we've done a lot of musicals in the past, and so, you know, there's a lot of times if you're with people in the arts who are secular, they are very open to a lot of different things. You know, they're just open to a lot, you know? And so Ron and I are very unapologetic about our faith in those spaces, and it frequently turns into a surprise because people see in our bio that we're like in ministry, and then all of a sudden they're all weird about around us because they're like, well, you don't like this kind of people. And I'm like, you've known me for 6 weeks now. Have I ever treated you like, what, do you suddenly think I'm going to treat you differently just because you know that I go to church now? You know, like stuff like that. And so we've had the privilege of being in a number of conversations. And the best ones are when you hit someone who wants to know but isn't antagonistic. And so they'll ask these huge questions. And frequently they'll be like, well, I don't want to offend you. And I'm like, well, if God is who I say he is, and he is, then he is way bigger than your questions. He is not offended by you asking. So why should I be? And frequently when I say that, because they're not coming at me antagonistically, they're just asking. And so many times they step back and they're like, I haven't known someone to be gentle when I ask these kinds of questions. And even when I don't have the answers, because a lot of times I don't, they're asking some huge thing and I'm like, let me get back to you on that. You know, that is the thing that strikes them, is the fact that I didn't get offended. that I didn't yell at them, that I wasn't harsh with them, that I wasn't like clawing them down or calling them stupid or something because of something that they said or because of them not knowing or understanding something. That is frequently the thing that strikes them. And that is frequently the thing that they circle back around on later. And they're just like, oh, you were always so kind. And so that is what I see as being needed right now. Yeah. That in the midst of all this swirl and turmoil is for God's people to be a people who walk in the wisdom that comes from above, who are not critical or contentious or fight-provoking. They don't hold that earthly demonic wisdom, as God calls it, but that instead they walk without extra motivations. They bring peace, that they're gentle, that they're willing to yield, that they're full of mercy, that they're full of good fruits, that there's no partiality, that there's no hypocrisy. No hypocrisy is a big one. People are always looking for the church to be two-faced. And the only way we get that wisdom is by asking the Lord for it, by seeing him who he truly is, and by surrounding ourselves with others who are in wisdom. And so, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for the way that you are shaking our culture right now, God. And God, I ask that we would be people who are wise, that we would be firmly planted on the rock, that we would not be caught up in the shaking or in the swirl or choosing to react the way we see others react around us, God. But I pray that you would grant us the wisdom that comes from your throne. The wisdom that comes from your throne, God. We can only get it from you, Lord. Pray that you would grant us increasing measures of it, Lord. That even if we walk in a measure of it, God, I pray for more. For double portions, Lord. I pray that in every conversation, in every situation that we find ourselves, that we would react with your wisdom and with your heart. Help us to see people as you see them and as you created them to be, God. Help us to call that forth. Help us to be peacemakers, Lord. Not a false peace, but the true peace that starts with reconciling men to your heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.